The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS and brought to you by Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process at BriggsAuction.com. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds, get yours at BigBarker.com/Ricky. And Kinetic Skateboarding, get 9.1% off your first order at KineticSkateboarding.com with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, the Sixers lose back-to-back games on the road with James Harden out, putting their shot at the two seed much, much lower, putting Joel Embiid's MVP candidacy at risk. And Harden continues to sit out with an injured Achilles while Embiid seems to be playing with a sore calf. It all seems like we should have known all of this was coming. Also making a good announcement about Live Ricky 5 from a food standpoint, but an incredibly disturbing and dangerous video about the Hall of Fame vote and perhaps the location of our producer, CJ. We will play that. Also, the Ringer Top 100, as well as your voicemails and emails. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. We're almost at 9,000. The goal is to get at 10,000 by the playoffs. We have said that if we don't get to 10,000 by the playoffs, that CJ will be fired. But if he's not even here anymore, can we fire him? Who knows? If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and set up notifications. A quick congratulations to Jack Fritz, who has appeared on the Ricky, was once a Live Ricky producer, as he and his wife, Jill, welcomed their first son into the world yesterday, I believe, or early this morning. I don't know if it was 6:07 yesterday or 6:07 this morning, but Walker Jacob Fritz is now Jack's son. Makes me feel incredibly old and fearful for the future that Jack is a parent. I'm just kidding. Jack will be a wonderful parent. Jill will be a wonderful parent. Congrats, Jack. And Kinetic Skateboarding. Man, getting into early spring, which is hoodie weather. Sure is. You need hoodies. You go to kineticskateboarding.com. Now, while you're there, you're not only going to find hoodies, you're going to find sneakers you won't find anywhere else, t-shirts for when it gets a little bit warmer, all that kind of shit, man. Cool shorts, of course, skateboards, if that's what you're into. I'm too old for skateboards. Go to kineticskateboarding.com and use promo code Dave Silver for 9.1% off your first order. Where is CJ? Without any further ado, Amos and the chef.
Larry, sweetie, the man is here.
Say the name. I say the name. I say the name.
We were right, y'all.
Welcome to the Rights Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with the guy that is solely responsible for the Sixers' that's current right. slide. That is one, Mike Levin.
No, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
That's not even something I'll object to. This does feel familiar. Look, let's say that Harden hasn't been playing.
Yep.
Part of the reason why they look different is because of how good Joel and Harden look together.
Mm-hmm.
Although their defense is not going to be improved by James Harden.
Nope.
Famously.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating. I mean, I think they're banged up a little bit. I think Joel's obviously banged up. He didn't seem like he, you know, super wanted to be playing last night, which is funny to say in a game he had, you know, 28 points on 18 shots. Like, that's just like the par for the course. Like, even if he has a bad game, it still looks like a very, you know, a good game from him maybe 4 years ago.
Would have been nice to win the Warriors game so they could have just punt the
100%. And they should have. Like, that's a game that they should have won. Harden's banged up. McDaniel's banged up. Embiid's banged up. Not a great time to be banged up. And also the bench shooting a collective like 0 for 1,000 from three. It was a frustrating couple of games, but a couple weeks ago, it was like they're going to be the three seed, and then they got hot in a tough stretch, and it was like, well, maybe they could be the two seed, but they're still going to be the three seed.
Which yes.
Is what it is.
I mean, truthfully, now when you look at it, I don't think it's likely to happen, but it seems more likely that they will be the four seed than they are the two seed. I mean, they're two games behind the Celtics in the loss column for the two seed. They're 2.5 games up on the Cavs, but you look at this final stretch here and you look how they've handled the first few games of the final stretch here. Yeah. And it's a tough final stretch.
Yeah.
And with the you really wonder how they handle this, right? Because we don't know when Harden's coming back, because we don't know how hurt he is. And given how the last few seasons have ended for him from a physical standpoint, yeah. You really have to err on this. I know I've been a get the two seed guy, but at this point, with it being unlikely, you have to err on the side of caution with Harden for sure.
Yeah.
But then, so if you have him out for the next few games, then you have Embiid, who clearly wants to win the MVP. I want him to win the MVP. And is there truly their only chance at winning these games? But on the same end, like, you almost want them to just fucking punt any chance at the two seed, but then you might wind up at the four. I don't know. It's really bad time for all these things to happen, honestly. Like, it feels like they peaked 2 weeks too early. I would have loved to go into the playoffs just rip on these final 10 games, ripping off 7 wins or 8 wins. And it feels like more like a 5-5. Final thing.
Yeah, I go back and forth, because you go like, how far into their psyche do you want to get? Because yeah. if they go in feeling confident, then they put up a fucking stinker.
Yep.
Against whoever, and because they think they're too good. I think it's good to get punched in the mouth a couple times, although they could explain it to themselves that it's because Harden's not there and they're banged up a little bit. But the Warriors at Suns was the toughest. Was two of the four toughest games in their schedule. The next toughest one is Monday, tomorrow at Denver, which Embiid's obviously going to be up for. And then a week from now against the Bucks at Milwaukee. But everything else, home against Dallas, they beat. Dallas is kind of spiraling, and I think they're going to want revenge for losing that game in Dallas. Home against the Raptors, okay. Home against the Celtics, sure. Miami at home, who's going through. I think that there's obviously they're
all tough.
These are tough games, but they're not like the two games that they just lost are the ones that they were probably going to lose, and they should have won one. So to me, frustrating, a reset of why I don't trust this team defensively. Like, it's just the same shit every time. Like, you can't contain dribble penetration. You can't get around screens. You help too much. Then it's a lob behind Embiid. If the wings pinch down to tag the roller, it's wide open threes. The Sixers also force teams into making these tough decisions when as far as like, do you double Embiid? How do you cover him? But it's particularly frustrating for the Sixers because they do it to guys who aren't good.
Yeah.
They just too often will double off of shooters onto like a mediocre ball handler when Embiid's already back. And it's like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to yourself? Why? It's very frustrating. It seems like, and then they miscommunicate and they don't have like a cohesiveness on the defensive end. And then like Maxey goes like this to the guy, and like Tobias goes to points in the thing. And PJ's like it's everybody's doing the pointing game. And it's just, I just don't see that getting better, or guys just straight up ball watch. This is straight up. Like, I blamed Harden for it, but it's really all of them. Like, Tobias turns his back and just like ball watches, like allows their guy to back cut or screen for the other guy, so it's a wide open look. Like, they're not locked in on the defensive end. They almost never are, unless Joel is cleaning up everything and the other team's missing shots. But then the crazy thing to me, it sucks. The crazy thing to me is Doc's like, okay, we got the Warriors' best shooting team of all time. Let's go to zone. It just didn't like, and then a hot shooting Suns team with some of the best shooters of their generation. And it's like, let's also go to zone.
But I think what he's trying to do is buy 5 minutes for Embiid.
But Embiid's on the court for that.
He's on the court for it, but he's not chasing people around the perimeter the way that he normally would be.
But it felt like like you have, Doc has like two tricks that he's going to play. One of them, and it's his favorite one, is bench fucking Paul. And well, anything that goes wrong, he might not even be in the game. And he's like, Paul, you're bench. Like, it doesn't matter what's going wrong. If something is going wrong, number one on the list is bench Paul. Put somebody else in, bench Paul. Go small, go big, go anything. Get out of here. Leave the arena.
So the Sixers play the Nuggets on Monday night. And we just saw Dwayne Dedman, what did he play, like 14 minutes or something against the Suns. He was in there a lot.
Yeah, he played 9 minutes, okay. Was a minus 13. Paul played 6 minutes, was a minus two. But obviously, you got to bench Paul. That's number one on the list.
Do you think who do you think the backup center is on Monday night against the Nuggets? Do you think the first guy is Paul or do you think it's Dedman? Have we seen the switch happen? It's possible. We just saw the switch happen, by the way.
I'd be really, really pissed if it's Dedman. I'd be really, really pissed.
Yeah.
Because like Dwayne had a nice block at the rim in this game, but like he's an emergency like standard tall guy. Like he can set screens, he can roll. He's just not going to make anything happen. It's just crazy to me that Doc is so untrusting of Paul. He's so reluctant to like benefit from the good shit that Paul does that he just blames him for everything. It's really, really frustrating. I know I've said this before and you know, some people don't listen to every podcast. So congrats to those people hearing this for the first time. But like, I'd much rather be like, okay, the Sixers team has an athleticism deficit. They have a rebounding deficit.
They do.
They feel like they're not flying around anything. Like put Paul in at the four for a little juice. Like I just don't understand why that's the idea. Is like, no, we're going to go smaller and it's going to be George Niang and PJ Tucker being the two least athletic players in the league. Like why is that the case? Like, it seems like he is just so, I've praised Doc for the last month or so of like pushing the right buttons and getting into some good sets. And I've, you know, had to pinch myself on the thigh skin below the screen because I don't like doing it, but he has been good for a while. And now it's just like, we're back to like benching Paul and like going small pointlessly and like going zone in a matchup where you're going to lose because of it. Like I don't blame him.
I don't blame him for the zone thing. I really don't. I like you look at,
but I don't mind it, but it can't be like, that's the solution. Like, no, I don't mind trying it out, but they did it for most of the game last night or a lot of it. And it's like, we're going to cut Paul. Like his decision making is not, if they struggle to get back on shooters because they're too short, or slow or whatever, like zone is not going to help that.
Well, I think that the thing that we see defensively, and that there's one thing that people concentrate on too much, and I think that we are probably guilty of it in looking at it, and then there's where the Sixers are deficient, is like one of the things that I think people concentrate too much when they're talking about defense is how people look when they're guarding just one guy. And that is Tobias is like the perfect example of this, is that when you look at Tobias guarding one guy and looking, he does a good job. He's like, if it's him matched up on one person, then he looks fine. Yep. But team defense takes like a mental commitment and fortitude and togetherness that they do not have, and that's where it all starts to fall apart. And it's when physically deficient people, specifically like Niang, are harder to hide because they're not like on a string ever. They're not making up for each other's deficiencies. Because they're not defensive players who can. And I think like the defense is, I mean, it was, I don't think defense was specifically the issue during the Suns game. I thought offensively they just looked fucking dead from the minute that game started, and offensively they were a disaster.
Yeah, but except for Maxey.
And we'll get to him in a second, but the last 7 minutes of the Warriors game was just like they had no chance on defense. They had no chance.
And that's a particularly Warriors thing, because if you go behind the screen, you're going to die. If you switch, then that's a back cut for a layup, which they've beaten us with a bunch of times. Like, that's a Warriors-y issue when they're hitting shots. Like, it's just really difficult. And that's like a math problem, right? Where they're shooting a ton more threes than the Sixers did, and enough of them went in where it was over. And they still should have won that game in spite of that problem. But yeah, I mean, to me it's frustrating to go like, okay, yeah, defense is a team defense thing. The Sixers don't have the athletes and length and persistence, relentlessness to like go after everything. But also they are not on a string. They don't communicate well. They're not like playing together. That's not like a particularly well coached defensive group that they're always locked in. Like they are both at a mental and physical disadvantage. And it seems like the schemes that they run are wildly dependent on those things not being the case. And they both are the case. So like I would try to switch more, think less and yeah. Don't get exposed by your athleticism as lack of athleticism as much. And it seems like the Doc is still coaching a team that he doesn't realize he has. And that's why I want to fucking try B-ball Paul for weak side rim protection just sometimes so that if Embiid has to play up, then at least there's somebody back that can do something. It's Spike. It kills me. Paul's benched. We're going to bench Paul. Doc, we're not even playing. You're in bed. Paul's benched. He's gone. Get him out of here.
He does hate Paul.
He hates him. He hates him.
He does hate Paul. Yep. We'll get to that later. So we're going to Vegas, Mike, for two reasons. First, I want to ask Vegas Mike how his bracket is doing. Mm. I don't follow the tournament really at all. I did see that, what is it, Florida Atlantic has been the big surprise. I saw
There's been a bunch of upsets. Big fun tournament for upsets and some really good games. Some really, really good games.
How's your bracket doing?
My bracket is I had UConn on the Final Four.
Oh.
Everything else is bad, but I'm doing okay. On pre-ESPN, I'm in like, if nobody else got any more points, I'm right now in like the 95th percentile or something. So that's pretty good. And then there's a couple other teams I have like a piece of in my little side bet situation I got going on here.
Of course, the tournament is going on. DraftKings Sportsbook, if you're a new customer and you use code RTRS, you bet $5 on any pregame money line on the tournament, get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. One thing I wanted to ask Vegas Mike is the NBA MVP odds have shifted slightly again. I would like you to tell... They've shifted slightly. I would like you to guess Embiid's odds and Jokic's odds for regular season MVP per DraftKings Sportsbook.
I would guess it's pretty close. I would guess it's like Embiid minus, let me do both. Embiid minus 140, Jokic plus 170.
Very close. Well done, Vegas Mike. Joel Embiid minus 150 at DraftKings Sportsbook, Jokic plus 180.
Wow.
At DraftKings Sportsbook. So remember, DraftKings featuring parlays, odds boosts all tournament long. Check in every day to see what they got going on. Download the app right now. Sign up with code RTRS. Right now, new customers bet $5 on any pregame money line bet. Get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code RTRS. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Before we get back to the game, I will let you know we are missing CJ. We do have a disturbing video that may explain his whereabouts. We will play that a little bit later. Very disturbing video, and not him. We saw in the chat, someone said he was pretty banged up on Instagram Live last night.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's related. Can we talk about Maxey real quick?
Sure.
Was great as a scorer last night for sure. Really has a lot, and we've mentioned this before, but has a long way to go in terms of a distributor. And I think one of the places you see it is when they try to run pick and roll with him. It seems like he takes such a wide angle to it each time that while he gets a little room, whether he's going to step back and shoot a three or get to the basket, it doesn't seem like it creates for anybody else all that regularly. And it seems like he either does it where he doesn't get close enough to Embiid or the screener, or he gets close, but he doesn't turn the corner as sharply as Harden would do. And while I think they benefit a lot from his scoring, when Harden's not in there, you do see how deficient he is at distributing. And it's noticeable.
Yeah. I think part of that is that his limitations. He had a nice cross-court swing pass to the corner last night that I liked. Would like to see a few more lobs, but you're not throwing those lobs to anybody except for B-Ball Paul or maybe Jalen McDaniels, who is going to miss them. Yeah, I mean, definitely needs to work on, you know, Maxey had an incredible game. Like, his without Harden a lot of the time, and if Embiid's not fully on the court or just like locked in, or they're doubling him so much that it's he has to get the ball out. Like, and he's just so good in isolation. He can get by anyone going right. He has an array of like scoops and floaters. He had one like floater high off the glass and one like he's just a really special shot maker. And when he gets his like feet together and set and organized, like he's a really, really good 3-point shooter. It's unbelievable how good he's gotten. But you just can't let him get to his right hand. Like if you're the other team, like,
yeah,
I know it's hard to say that too, because he's so fast. But like you make him go left and it's just, he's not as, he can finish with the left, but it's like as much as far as like dribbling, knifing through the defense and making plays with his left, it's not quite there yet. So I think that's part of the pick and roll thing, is he's not as comfortable going the other way. And also I do think that they are instilling in him, like, score, go score. You're the scorer, like, go do it. And I think that sometimes he either takes, you know, less good shots, which he can't make, obviously, or he's just not as, you know, intentional about finding other guys. So he's so much better than he has any right to be from where they drafted him and for how young he is. And hopefully that other stuff, like, you know, just keeps developing year to year.
A couple of nice Tobias games, but I think notable that they happen in games that they lose.
It, like, does feel that way.
Right?
It does, like, really feel that way.
He seems like a good shot maker. He gets that, you know, 12 footer, 10 footer, he backs the guy down or whatever it is. And you see him make the shots and you're like, oh man, he can do that. But then you realize when he's taking those shots that something's wrong. And he has played well of late.
Yeah, he's been more decisive.
I don't think it's the reason why they lost. I just think it is notable that he has the better games in the games that they do not win.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him. Like, I don't think that's his fault. I mean, part of it is because he's taking a bigger role because they are missing either Embiid or Maxey or Harden, or sometimes more than one. And then it goes, okay, it's Tobias, it's your turn. And he's capable, but they are still less good without those guys.
Yeah.
I did think he played very well against Golden State.
Mm-hmm. Defensively too.
Yeah, I just thought he was really like solid and put together. And making those quick decisions. He took one three, which I didn't love. He did make it. It was a three like in Draymond's face, which is pretty wild.
A lot of dunks
off the dribble. And he did have two dunks. So this is more important than the seeding. Tobias is currently at 49 dunks on the season. Mm-hmm. His career high is 55 in 82 games the year that the Sixers acquired him. He's got to beat that. Right now he's already beat last year he had 43, the year before that he had 35. So right now 49 dunks is, you know, good for the career. It's definitely like on the road, but he's got a, you know, couple games left and he's got to get me seven. The one thing I liked last night was he misses a 3-on-1 possession. The very next possession, the ball gets swung to him in the corner. He doesn't hesitate. He goes up for a three, like, and he makes it in the corner. And that was like, that's the stuff. He's just got to like keep going about it. And I also want to say, like, I feel like his distribution has been pretty good. He's been moving the ball. He's been driving and kicking. Like, that's as the fourth option generally. Like, that's just nice to see that he still has that in him and can control can like command enough of the defense's attention to where, guys can have to like help a little bit and guys can be open so he can kick it out to him. It's nice to see. He's a pretty complete player. Like people go like, oh, he's an all-star. Like, I don't think he in any decent team would ever be really an all-star. He had that one very good first half of the season and stuff. But like, for the most part, like, he's just a really solid player who got overpaid and the Sixers are happy to have him in the current position that he is. Would they like somebody with a little more range, a little less conscience? Like, sure. But he's a big body. He can get downhill. He can defend a little bit. He can rebound a little bit. He can just like do everything like pretty good. And hopefully everybody gets healthy so he can like fit back into his role and be on this like good path he's on.
What would you think about when Harden is out, rather than moving Melton into the starting lineup, that like a shake Maxey backcourt more to allow Maxey to be a little more off ball? And like Shake seems, he's not the, I certainly wouldn't call him a point guard, but he seems to have a better feel for pick and roll and sort of settling down the offense than Maxey does.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think that they go like, well, if we don't have Harden, then we may as well have a better defense. And Melton's obviously better for that than Shake is, but I like Shake. I like Shake and Maxey as a pairing, especially with Embiid behind them. Certainly a better distributor and like plays with his own like little pace and stuff, and can find guys and can also beat some guys off the dribble and stuff. He had a nice driving past Anthony Lamb, I think it was, on Golden State, and finished with the left hand. He's been great. I thought he was pretty bad yesterday, decision making wise, and seemed like he was like kept getting himself in trouble with the shot and didn't feel like he was playing as comfortable as he was. By the way, I know this isn't for you, Spike, but like John L. Davis, who's Florida Atlantic's best player, gives me so many Shake Milton vibes. He's so smooth. I love him, and I just want to. It makes me love Shake more watching John L. And just hope other people are seeing that also, because I think it rules. But yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind. I mean, hopefully that they don't have to worry about like what to do when Harden doesn't play in games that matter. But I definitely wouldn't mind that, especially with, then you can put Melton has to be on the court like all the time, and Embiid's not on the court. So if it's like Melton and B-Ball are paired, then it's like, okay, you have a little bit of like solid defense kind of thing.
The last thing I had, and we've mentioned this before, it's nothing new, but when George Niang isn't making shots, I want to fucking grab him and say, why are you even fucking out there? Like, what are we doing with you?
I go back and forth about that. I agree. It feels that way for me too, but like, he still has shooting gravity, which helps your offense. Even if he's not making shots, defense is still running out to him because of his reputation. And so on the one hand, like, that is helpful, but yeah, man. Oh man. Like, when he's cold,
it's rough. It's a rough, really rough watch,
and
man.
And him, between him and PJ, just like getting just roasted off the dribble, like point guards get switching onto them and just like burning them in the dust, like Cameron Payne doing that to them. Like, it was frustrating to watch last night. It felt like generally, like, this is who we got. This is who we're hoping on, like, in playoff series. And like, yes, it hurts worse when the shooters are cold. Because the Sixers are the, you know, their percentages are going down, but like one of the top by percentage 3-point shooting teams in the league. And part of that is because of Harden. If Harden's not here to give them those easy looks, then like everything's a little shorter. Everything's a little like in the wrong spot, like that kind of thing. But yeah, it hasn't been a sterling few games for our friend George.
Anything else from these before we move on? Do you think they're going to beat the Nuggets?
I do think they're going to beat the Nuggets. I do think. I wonder if James comes back for it. That'll be interesting. But yeah,
I'm starting to get worried about the Harden injury.
That's fair.
I'm getting worried about the Harden injury. Soft tissue injury, bad, 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 bad. His history with his legs the last few years, bad, 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 bad. I'm getting worried. Especially as bad as he looked in that game, the last one he played, I'm getting nervous about the Harden injury. Getting nervous.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he didn't look good the game that he played after the injury. He looked very bad in that game. And so it was like, why is he out there? And so then it's been precautionary, but I would guess that he plays, but we'll see. Yeah, it was just also frustrating last night to be like, hey, it's Terrence Ross and TJ Warren, and you're getting absolutely roasted in the mid range. Just like, I hope that everyone felt like how embarrassing that was. A little bit more on the Embiid thing. Like, he's definitely improved of like intentionally getting fouled and also giving himself a chance to hit shots. It feels like he has more N1s the last 2 years by a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's that the numbers bear that out per Best Ball Reference. The last 2 years, his N1s have like skyrocketed from earlier in his career. But like, man, Bismack Biyombo should never be able to affect his shot.
No, he blocked it twice, I think.
He blocked it twice. He like made it hard for him. I think there's just a little too much like, Joel is probably going to be more than any, I feel very confident in saying this, the most scouted player in the league, which is, I would say, a testament to how good he is. But like, looking for his tendencies, looking for his weaknesses, looking for what other stuff he's going to do when he puts the ball in his left hand, is it going up, that kind of thing. And like, he just needs to know that that's happening and mix it up a little bit more, because he's got that little hang dribble and he thinks he can get it off over everybody. But if people read it, like, he can get that blocked. Brook Lopez is going to get the block. Best player in the world, Brook Lopez, is going to block him. The reason I liked, and this has sort of gone away, maybe with Harden's injury or just as the season's gone on, it feels like he's gone away from the like catching on the move, Joel, where I really liked that, where he was like, the defense doesn't have time to rotate over. Now it's like him just like at the nail orchestrating, which obviously is great, but
Harden, yeah. I think that's more noticeable and happens more for sure.
So that's something I'm looking at, but also, man, like, a huge block on Okogie. That was sick. But I really enjoyed the like block resurgence over the last month. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as like you're worried about Harden's injury, like the Warriors surprisingly effectively went at him a bunch of times at the rim and like finished around him and inside. And that was like, that doesn't really happen very often. And it surprised me a little bit.
I want this guy to be fucking gassed when the playoffs start. It's just like, yeah. I'm getting all these fucking old feelings, man.
I know.
It's terrifying.
No, it's not good.
Before we get...
We're benching Paul, though, so it's going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. As long as B-Ball Paul's on the bench and Dwayne Dedmon's playing. So we're going to play this video for you in a moment, right after I talk about Briggs Auction, back to almost every week, Briggs Auction. Has been over the last few weeks. BriggsAuction.com, B-R-I-G-G-S Auction.com, or the Briggs Auction app in the App Store or Google Play. 4-generation family-owned and operated auction house there in Delco. So they have the estate auctions, but then also the discovery auction. I love the discovery auction because it's tons of random fun shit. Currently, the discovery auction, like, there's like 1,200 lots. I go right to collectibles. I go to art. The collectibles, the Star Wars Coke glasses, which if you're a person around my age, you remember at one point collectible glasses were like the shit. The Star Wars Coke glasses up there in the auction. Vintage Mr. Peanut salt and pepper shakers. I would just love to have that in my kitchen. And in the art section this time, a really cool graffiti painted stop sign with the O is like a balloon with the little girl. It's really cool. Anyway, clothing, collectibles, electronics, the clothing, CJ, his entire wardrobe, wherever CJ is, basically Briggs Auction at this point. Go to BriggsAuction.com or download the app. And what I'm telling you...
He hasn't gotten the jacket yet, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he had to schedule a pickup or something.
I think he's gotten it. I think next time, if we can find him.
Yes, if we were able to get him.
Next time we have to see the jacket be tried on.
We did get modeled. The giant ruler to measure.
I saw that.
That's very nice. Yeah. In any case, furniture as well, and not furniture you have to wait for. You don't have to wait for 6 months of supply chain bullshit to get the furniture at Briggs Auction. I am telling you, they'll be there at Live Ricky 5. I believe they're going to have a whole table set up. Go to BriggsAuction.com, BriggsAuction.com. Just check in weekly. That's what I do. If you win a lot, you can either do open pickup on Saturdays or by appointment during the week, or they can work with a shipper for you. And if you've got a bunch of stuff and you think it's valuable and you'd like to auction it somewhere, Briggs Auction is the only place you can go. Shoot a note to info@BriggsAuction.com. That is info@BriggsAuction.com. Briggs Auction. Briggs Auction. So you may remember, we have two things for Live Ricky 5. One, a great announcement about the food that will be at Live Ricky 5. But first, a really upsetting thing that happened. Now, if you remember, we are inducting three things into the Process Hall of Fame. Sixers player, which is Mike Muscala. Sixers thing, which is the Ben Simmons practice photo, where he's pouting with a cell phone in his pocket that is actually a jersey, but is actually a cell phone. And we had a vote for you to vote on the Ricky thing. And the winner of the vote was Daryl Morey on the pod from the bubble while he was president of the Rockets. Second place was Tony Tatone's performance of Me and Kyrie.
Wow.
It came in second place, a fair vote.
Any sour grapes?
Well, we received this video, Mike.
This brings me no joy. I am at an undisclosed location and I am an anonymous member of COVID. Count our votes even now. We know this election was fraudulent. Harold Morey ain't no way beat Tony and Kyrie Sewell, okay? And we are taking action. We've kidnapped CJ, and we will not bring him back until we get a recount in our fucking favor. Harold Morey, you asshole. You might be the coach now, but you ain't gonna be the coach next year when they lose again, okay? Kevin forever, and CJ's in trouble. You better fix this shit now. Kevin forever.
Mike, now we have said over and over and over again, we do not negotiate with terrorists. This has been a theme of the pod. We will not negotiate with terrorists. The accusation that
in what ways has that been the theme? Just run a view.
Are you saying that we?
No, I just want to remind the listeners of some examples of that.
Right, exactly. So, the suggestion that the vote was fraudulent in any way is I'm offended by, and the fact that CJ has now been kidnapped by Coven, count our votes even now, is terrifying. I would love to have CJ back, but I cannot risk the integrity of this vote and this election. Mike, what is your comment? How do we approach this? Coven, count our votes even now.
Where does he get the ski mask for a puppet? How does he have everything? What a...
I want to know what
percentage of his fans know about this?
Tony T's?
Yes, fans? Tony T's fans.
We also received, and we'll put this on social, even though it is disturbing, we did receive a photo of whoever that gentleman is in the video holding a knife, and it said CJ's in trouble again.
Wow.
So what do we do? Do we negotiate with the terrorist, or do we go ahead and induct Daryl from the bubble as president of the Rockets? Where is CJ? Where is he being held? Where is Coven located? If you're listening to the pod, you need to watch this part. I'm sorry. It's something that you need to watch.
Unbelievable.
What are we going to do? I guess we'll find out that night or how this evolves.
Unbelievable.
Also, Live Ricky 5, Coven, count our votes even now. Our friends at Kismet Bagels, who did send Mike a bunch of bagels and a hat.
Yep.
Kismet will be selling Bialys at Live Ricky 5.
Sick.
Special Bialys, the Ricky Bialy, which is a very special one, as well as two other Ricky-related Bialys. One of them will be vegan for my vegan friends. If you don't know what a Bialy is, they have a Bialy stand at Reading Terminal Market. Bialy is like, I would say like a bagel with stuff on top and in the middle, but it is not boiled. So it's not like, it's only like fluffy or whatever. It's not, doesn't have like that tough sort of outside that a bagel has. But Kismet, of course, has been around for a few years, has blown up in Philly. Jacob from Kismet, a Ricky listener, and will be selling Bialys at Live Ricky 5, the special Bialy, the special Ricky Bialy.
What does Jacob think about CJ getting kidnapped by a puppet voiced by a beloved
singer-songwriter?
We
know he's kidnapped by a puppet, but we don't know if that was Tony, you know, I don't know if Alex is Jacob's wife. It's the both of them that run Kismet. I don't know if Alex is a listener as well. I would like to get her opinion. I just don't know whether to negotiate with Coven or not to get CJ back. Hmm. It's my concern. Mm-hmm. Count our votes even now.
Yeah. I was thinking that it's, you're saying even now, like even now still, I think it's more like counter votes even.
Now.
Yeah. Like now, like we demand, oh. I was thinking more that's the intent of that.
I'll be honest. I would say we should watch it again to make sure, but I've watched this video so many times and I'm not going to stop watching it.
Sure.
So I don't need to do it now.
Stunning stuff.
Yeah.
Stunning stuff on a basketball podcast.
Tommy makes a good point in the chat. Is CJ soft for getting kidnapped by a puppet?
Wow. If CJ was really 6 foot, would he get kidnapped by a puppet?
We'll find out. The Spotify question of the pod, which happened on the last pod, I don't know who's going to do it this time, given that CJ's not here, was we were talking about NBA players that could lead the 16 seed in the tournament to a championship, a NCAA championship. The question was, who is the worst NBA player that could lead a 16 seed to a championship? John says, I'd like to see what Shamet could do. Do you think Landry Shamet could lead a 16 seed to an NCAA tournament?
I do, yeah, I do.
Desmond Bane, I know you're going to say yes. Jaden Springer's a no. Not at this point.
No, just because he's not like, he's only been in the NBA for like a year and a half and he hasn't like, he's not an NBA like player yet.
Yeah.
But he could certainly help them win a round.
Tony
in
Roten.
In the right matchup, like, you know, against Purdue, like Purdue doesn't have, I mean, maybe Zach Edey has a cup of coffee in the NBA or has like a Boban type career, but they're not like loaded with NBA prospects. So yeah.
Tony Roten.
Right now?
Yeah, we haven't seen Tony play in a while.
I bet he's the exact same player. Not a chance there's a thing different. So I'm gonna say yes to Tony Roten.
And this is unrelated, but before we get to the mailbag, the Nets announced that Ben Simmons has an impingement in his lower back. And they are going to try and decide the best course of long-term action moving forward with Ben Simmons' injury. I don't know how the injury happened and that he doesn't play or practice, but it seems like he is injured again. Just going to ask again, Mike, what do you think the chances are that Ben Simmons never suits up again for an NBA game?
I mean, certainly not zero.
Yeah.
It's another entry into some of the weirdest stuff that anybody has ever had to talk about on a basketball podcast.
And we don't mean the threatening video this time. Count our votes even now, or count our votes even now.
Yeah.
Before we get to the mailbag, writestreakysanchez@gmail.com is where you send us an email, or 833-LICKFACE is where you leave us a voicemail. I want to talk to you about Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Love Rebels Big Barker. Now, at Live Ricky 5, I have it written down. We're going to have Moot Loop perform his Trevlin Queen hit. I wanted him standing on a Big Barker so we could show just how sturdy it is. With a human standing on a Big Barker. The difference between the Big Barker and any other dog bed you get is that the Big Barker is a real mattress. It's a real bed that will support your dog's joints as your dog sleeps on it. Your dog sleeps so fucking much. That's all dogs do all day is fucking sleep. Especially at night where he's sleeping, you know, 8-10 hours straight. You got to make sure that the bed your dog is sleeping on is properly supportive for your dog's joints. If your dog is young, you want your dog staying energetic, staying feeling good when your dog wakes up. You don't want your joints all creaky at a young age. If your dog is getting older, as arthritis starts to come in, which does happen for dogs, just like it happens for humans, you want the most supportive mattress you can find to make sure that dog is as springy as it can be for as long as it can be. Go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. BigBarker.com/Ricky. You get a Big Barker dog bed with processed pup patches, two processed pup patches for absolutely nothing. So you can induct your dog into the processed pup gallery right there at RightsRickySanchez.com. They took steps early on in Big Barker's evolution to make sure that the mattress was right. Make sure it's right. Make sure it's different than everything else on the market. Make sure it's going to last long, a 10-year warranty. But most of all, make sure that dogs are going to be healthier when they're sleeping on it. Penn Vet study shows that happens. I mentioned a 10-year warranty. 10 years. The foam doesn't flatten or they replace it for free. A 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, if your dog doesn't like it, they'll give you a full refund. They'll even pay for the shipping. It's handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds.
Right.
All right. writetorickysanchez@gmail.com is the email address. This comes from Adam. Do you know if George Niang is contractually prohibited from lifting weights? I don't understand how a guy who plays basketball for a living can have zero muscle definition above the knee. Anyway, keep up the good work.
I bet if you saw George as a guy just walking down the street, I mean, he's also 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's more than it looks. It's an interesting shape for a basketball court, a professional basketball court. But I bet in a regular situation,
basketball player, he's not a court.
I'm saying on a basketball
on the court. Okay. Got it.
But in regular life, you'd be like, oh, that's a very physically fit man. But he does have one of the more unique shapes in the league for sure.
833 lick face is where you leave a voicemail. That is 833 lick face.
Hey, it's Dano, freemusicempire.com. I am here. I'm just thinking, and this is the best team we've had throughout this process era, but this is a team that has Shakespearean tragedy characteristics. And these are things that I feel like problems we're seeing now that will kill us later on. And I'm just focused on Maxi dying on screens so hard. That's got to kill us in the playoffs. That's got to come back at us in the playoffs. What do you guys think are characteristics that you're worried about foreshadowing moving forward? Have a great time. Thank you for what you do. Spike, wash your hair whenever you want. I don't care.
All right. I did check that website he plugged. There's nothing questionable on it. It's just some Patreon.
That's so funny. That's like a kind of guy I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. The regular guy?
No, yeah, that guy. I don't know. That guy. Just like the tone voice. And voice and everything was like, I've definitely like, that's a guy that I felt like I heard a lot in my youth and just haven't in a while. I was like, oh, that type of guy. Yeah, for sure.
The Sixers do have Shakespearean tragedy written.
Oh, yeah. And have for years.
Yeah.
Have for years.
Yep.
There's so much that I'm concerned about. Embiid's weird passing hands, throwing a pass into the crowd at like an opportune moment. Obviously they're going to miss they're going to not be able to get a rebound. PJ Tucker being so good at like getting offensive rebounds when he can like get ahead of full steam, but like simply unable to get a defensive rebound because he can't jump anymore.
Yeah.
Niang also obviously can't jump. That definitely like backbreaking offensive rebounds for the other team is going to happen. Like a PJ Tucker moving screen is going to happen. Tobias pump faking nobody from three. There's going to be three or four possessions where Harden and Maxi like look at each other as the other team like goes the other way after a turnover, like all that stuff. We've seen it all. We know it's going to happen.
Yeah. You're crazy if you think it's anything different. The only fun part is thinking for a moment that it might be different just to get yourself through it, knowing that it'll make it more painful in the end.
And I think it could. I guess the like,
there it is.
That's the negative part for sure. Yeah. But like Embiid is better than he's ever been. And that is important. We didn't even talk about the fact that Embiid put up 46, 9-8 on 19 of 22 from the line in the Warriors game. And Draymond saying he's the toughest cover in the league. Like, that's crazy.
Jokingly, by the way.
Yeah, but he means it.
Yeah.
I mean, he roasted. There was a time when Draymond was like, okay, Steve Kerr puts Draymond in. They're going to go small. They're going to do the Warriors thing. And Embiid just like puts him in the basket. It was absolute destruction. And it's so cool to see Embiid do that. Because like, I love the mid-range. I love the step back. I love pick and pop. He can do it all. But like once in a while, like I just want him to fucking give somebody a wedgie and shove them into the basket backboard, like upside down. Like I want to feel that. I want to see that. And to do it to Draymond Green was pretty cool.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say the optimistic thing is Joel is good. Is Harden is playing prior to the injury. We'll see like exceptional basketball for his age. He's still performing at a high level. Maxey is the most capable like isolation scorer this team's had. They have a ton of good shooters. Like if all that comes together, I mean, you know, PJ has proven it in the playoffs time and again. You know, Tobias being your fourth option offensively is better than most teams in the league. Melton as a switchable everything. Like there's a lot of good stuff that you could see and be like, I can look this optimistically. And a week ago I had, but the defense is the concern and the Shakespearean Hitchcockian backbreaking plays that we know are going to come for us. You know,
the Hitchcockian literally in that Embiid will not be playing tonight because he was attacked by a flock of birds. Yeah.
His dog's left. Now I was going to make a big Barker joke, but it's not even worth doing.
833 Lickface and writes RickySanchez@gmail.com. This comes from Ben. Jaylen Brown is sad in Boston, and I think we need a segment on the next pod about the Sixers will be bringing back a new big three era with Maxey, Embiid, and Jaylen Brown. Please ignore salary cap, existing binding contracts, or any mechanics of how this would be possible. Yeah.
No, I like that. Or I wanted Jaylen Brown forever. I love Jaylen Brown. It
would be great.
He'd be sick.
Or as Tony T says, we probably just need to do the process a couple of more times. 833 Lickface, how about this one?
If I have to hear another national reporter whine about the NBA and MVP discourse, I think I'm going to fucking shit my pants. They're all like, it's so toxic. It's such a bad discourse on the internet. But if they considered that maybe, just maybe, them posting articles and recording podcasts every week of the fucking season is going to get people arguing and talking about it on Twitter. And they're the ones that benefit from this. They benefit. They have monetized platforms. Every click and download makes them money. Now they have the nerve to whine about it and blame all of us. Give us a fucking break. Sanctimonious buttheads. But not you guys. Love you guys. Love the pod. What's your favorite cereal?
They are sanctimonious buttheads. They for are. Sure. And it's just
do we have to put down the other one?
Yeah, everybody's saying the same exact opinion, like it's the first time anyone said it, will always trigger me in a way of just like being like, you fucking shut the fuck up. Actually, like we can say nice things without being mean about the other guy. It's like, okay, you can't just say Embiid's really good. See ya. All right.
Yeah.
Like you have to you're trying to convey to people why he should be the MVP over Jokic or whoever.
And when you do that, you have to talk about the deficiencies of the other player. As
like people talk about Embiid and get to say availability 45 times.
Yes. And it's amazing how all of it has all of a sudden become toxic. When Jokic is no longer the favorite.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we shouldn't even have this argument anymore. I don't even believe in the MVP.
It also is interesting because people go like, it's actually really cool and very funny and a little bit like fucked up that Jokic doesn't even care or say anything or like, that's awesome. And it's like, I do agree that part of that is funny and him just being like, very aloof is a funny character trait, but as like a basketball culture, we've humped Michael Jordan's like intensity for so long. The idea that he would like Embiid wouldn't want to be the best player in the league.
Who doesn't want to win MVP?
It's very bizarre.
Yeah. Why is it? And by the way,
it's looked at like it's a negative for Embiid. Oh, he really played. So he played Jokic hard because he like wanted it. And it's like, okay. It's like, sure. it's why are we like this, like Gen X-y, like, well, I don't even fucking care, dude. Whatever, man. Like, it's actually, I fucking smoking a cigarette under the stairwell. Like, it's very bizarre that like that is seen as like a negative for Joel of like, he actually wants it. Like, pathetic. Very bizarre.
Writes RickySanchez@gmail.com. This comes from Paul. Is it wrong to take your coffee into the bathroom? I love my morning coffee, but it often makes me need to poop. When this happens, I don't want to let my coffee get cold. So a few times recently, I've made the quick decision of brought my coffee into the bathroom while I've pooped. As I've done this, I've been keenly aware that many people will likely disapprove of what I'm doing. However, I think if you actually break down the logistics, it's not really clear why. You can't bring food into the bathroom. I'm sorry. It's just shit germs all over the place. I know they might be outside the bathroom as well, but it's just like, you're sort of tempting fate. I'm going to bring the food or drink as close to the poop and pee as I can without actually touching it. I don't know. Just fucking leave it outside. Come on, man.
Yeah. I hear that.
No.
Do whatever you got to do, man. If you want to drink your coffee on the toilet, fucking drink your coffee on the toilet. Kick ass.
Well, you do whatever you want. If you're going to ask me, though, whether it's appropriate, I don't even bring my bag in. Before I leave work every day, I have a couple of bags because I bring a gym bag in. I go and I pee because I could be in my car for a very long time. And I always leave my bags outside of the bathroom before I go in. I don't know. It's just like, that's where pee and poop germs are the strongest, I would assume, in a bathroom.
Yeah. I've done some weird shit. Sometimes you're just like, what? This... If I could sort of analytically look at what I'm doing right now, I could see that it's not a good idea, but I'm in the middle of doing it. And I don't even have a specific that I'm thinking about right now because it happens all the time. But it's like, I'm already in the middle of it. So I guess this is just what it is.
833 Lickface is the voicemail. Two more and then we're out of here.
Hey guys, first time, long time. Basketball question. What is your ideal playoff run? Meaning what path to a championship would be the most fun? What teams would you want to play? What players would have moments when in each series? Generally, what's the most fun way to win a title? Non-basketball question. Who's on your Eagles Mount Rushmore? Mine would be Dawkins, Kelsey, McNabb, and Foles. Obviously, Foles a shorter run here, but brought us a title. I feel like he has to be on there. And then lastly, feel free to cut me off if I'm going over my time, but quick Ricky adjacent story. Years ago, I was randomly in a Liberty Ballers fantasy basketball league. It was an auction draft. And late in the draft, I nominated Hollis Thompson, who had zero business on a roster, but just wanted to see what Mike would do. No hesitation. He grabbed him for $2. It was amazing commitment to the bit by Mike, even though he definitely cut him right after the draft. And I'll never forget that. Mike is really about that 40% life. So take care, guys. Love that.
Look, wow. I think the best Sixers playoff run is conquering every demon. I think it would be beating.
There's a lot of demons to conquer. So who are you picking?
So I would say beating the Heat.
You would say beating the Heat, beating Jimmy over beating the Hawks.
In round one, yeah. Yeah, I think okay. Beating Jimmy, because I do have the terrifying feeling that Jimmy might take that makes everybody mad, that Jimmy would not allow his team to lose to the Sixers in the playoffs, which we might get tested in the first round. Yeah. So
it's interesting that you would say that.
Yes, I know, but I believe it.
Yeah, it's scary. He's definitely like a little bit of a monster.
Yeah.
And you're like, he could just decide.
Yeah, and he fucking hates the Sixers. He just does. And people are like, well, why would he? He does. He's going to want to. That's why he's going to scream Tobias Harris over me forever. Yeah. So I think it would be Heat, Celtics, Bucks, Nuggets. I think that would be the most glory would be beating Giannis, beating the Celtics, beating Jimmy, and then beating Jokic for all of it.
Yeah, that's not necessarily wrong. I mean, they've already beaten the Raptors. So that's not a big one anymore. Jimmy, they've beaten the Heat before. It was obviously before Jimmy, so it's a little bit like it feels a little I don't know, I just don't want the fucking Miami thing. I don't want to go down there and like see them go down there and see that fucking shitty arena. I might say the Hawks, just to like get that a more recent monkey off their back type of thing. And then, yeah, I think the Celtics, I think the Bucks, the Sixers haven't had the Celtics are like the one, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I would love We just haven't played the Bucks in the playoffs yet. So, you know, we have the Giannis ladder thing, which I'm excited about if that becomes a playoff storyline. And then I guess, yeah, I mean, the Nuggets, I guess, would be an Embiid-centric thing, but that's pretty much it. You could make the case for the Warriors being the most like, we're going to do it, you know, like we're going to dethrone these guys. You can make a case for the Suns and like a Kevin Durant, James Harden type of way. And, you know, I feel like Chris Paul and Embiid would get into it pretty good. And then the Clippers, if you want to say like a Doc Ty Lue situation. But as far as like who would perform at each level, like I would kind of just want
Embiid. I just want Embiid. Yeah, just Embiid
averaging 50 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind like a couple James Harden games where he like gets to the basket, like beats guys off the dribble kind of thing. Maybe a game winner or two. And I obviously want to be Bob Hall game. Obviously.
Yeah.
I obviously want to be Bob Hall game. Borderline, like I would like the Sixers to be up 3-1. Embiid has like bad duties, doesn't play. And it's like, okay, the Sixers are going to punt this game, but B-Ball Paul plays too well and they win without Embiid. That would be fun.
As far as Eagles, Mount Rushmore, I think McNabb is the best quarterback they've had, but I would not put him on the Eagles Mount Rushmore. I would have Reggie White.
Yeah.
Brian Dawkins. I do love the selection of Kelsey, and I think it's
Kelsey, yeah.
Yeah, and I would have Foles on there.
You put Foles on there.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not even just the Super Bowl, which is enough, but, like, he also has all these weird other Eagles moments, like the 27-2 and the fucking, even the beating the Bears the next year, and I don't know. He is such a mythical figure. It's like if Jeremy Lin won the NBA championship one year is like what Nick Foles is.
Yeah.
And I would put Foles over there. He's obviously not better than Donovan McNabb, but I
know, of course not,
but he's more representative of the history of the team.
I think that's fair. So it'd be definitely Dawkins, definitely Kelsey. I think this is also like, at least for our lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch Chuck Bednarik or anything.
Exactly, yeah. I would say Reggie White. I would agree on that. And if I just to go separate from Foles, like I want to pick like
Brandon Graham.
Yeah, Brandon Graham would be fun.
Yeah,
and gives it a little bit more continuity because he's been here for that long. And I mean, Fletcher, same thing.
He's just a good player. He's not a great player.
Yeah, for sure. But something about it being a lifetime Eagle.
Yeah.
Is pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a soft spot for those, for really all four of those cornerbacks that the Eagles had for a long time. Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor, Lito Shepherd, Sheldon Brown. Like those are like my corners. But picking any one of them would be wrong.
Yeah.
But if you could sort of like fuse them together in one guy, but Foles is probably right. Or Brandon Graham for longevity, or, you know, Fletcher Cox is definitely a better player than Brandon Graham career wise. But there seems to be just a more, because Graham made the play against Brady, seems to be more affinity for a little more love for Brandon Graham. So maybe I would say that, because it's not fair. You just want his face on a mountain, put his face on a mountain.
We will skip out on the final voicemail because we can hold it for next time. So, again, we will decide whether we're going to negotiate with Coven for the return of CJ, assuming that's where CJ is.
Oh my God.
Count our votes even now. Or
count our votes even now.
Yeah.
That's it.
We will talk to you. And look, I would love to do a pod on Monday night after the fucking Nuggets, but there's simply no way I'm doing a podcast at midnight for a regular season game. So let's hope they win. Our next
pod. And just really, everybody, like, watch out. Because the discourse is going to be scary.
Can we just say one is good without saying the other one is bad?
If they could both just win at the same time and Jokic could get his third and Embiid can get his like half of one.
The discourse.
The discourse is so scary. The discourse, and the only thing scarier than the discourse, you guessed it, the aggregators. So scary. The scariest people online. I don't know how to handle it. The internet's so new. I don't know how to handle like people arguing about it. I don't know what it's like.
Yep. Arguing about sports. How are we going to do that? And please don't take something I said word for word and put it somewhere else.
We need to have congressional hearings about the discourse. It's time. It's time. Oh, fucking man. Like an 85-year-old senator being like, so you said he doesn't play any defense, but the numbers.
Introducing an episode of Old Man and the Three where JJ Redick quotes Raptor as a proof.
Yeah.
That you don't want to, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't want to taint the discourse.
Diane Feinstein asking about what Raptor, trying to explain Raptor to Diane Feinstein.
Oh, God. We will talk to you Wednesday night after the Mavericks game. Let's hope Embiid obliterates Jokic and puts the MVP in his pocket, which I think he could do with a great performance on Monday night. So
Then that'd be nice. And then Harden destroying Kyrie and Luka whining to the ref.
Yes.
That'd be a nice twofer. For a pod. I would love to bring that energy into the next. If we can manifest that for the next pod, that'd be great.
No big deal. Luca just suggesting to the referees that they are making the wrong calls for money.
That was crazy. That was truly crazy.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Coven, are you down with TTP?
Yeah, you know the face.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.